You're listening to the Kerry Woodham Mornings Podcast from Newstalk ZB.
We thought we'd start this morning, though, with the review into the efficacy or lack thereof of school lunches. Associate Education Minister David Seymour says free school lunches as they stand are a prime example of wasteful public spending. He'd like to do away with them altogether. But he told Mike Hosking this morning that his party is just one within the coalition government. There are other parties who want to have some way of addressing kids turning up at school hungry. So, as he told Mike Hosking this morning, David Seymour says they'll just have to find a more efficient way of delivering the meals to the children who need them.
It would be more efficient if it fed more people. It'd be more efficient if it didn't waste as much as 25%, which is the evidence that's come up in the past, doesn't actually get eaten by kids. Or it could be more efficient if it was targeted at people with greater need. For example, you get people saying, oh, it's got to be universal. I heard your guy on earlier saying the most efficient way is to give it to everyone. Well, it's illogical. It can't be more efficient if you're giving it to people that need it and don't need it at the same level. So we're going through the process of taking papers to Cabinet and getting Cabinet to agree on it. One thing I can say is we will not be spending $350 million because we just can't afford it right now. We will do it in a way that will be more effective and efficient and is a good use of taxpayers' money.
That was David Seymour. And there are efficient ways to deliver food to hungry kids. The government isn't the only organisation doing it. Others have been doing it for years and years and years, and you would have to argue have been doing it effectively. Kickstart Breakfast, collaboration between Anchor Milk and Sanitarium Weet-Bix. They've been delivering breakfast to kids who need or want it. You might come from a family that can afford to stock the pantry, but you forget, or you've been to swimming and you're racing to get to school. There's a breakfast there available if you want it. So it's not, as Boyd Swinburne says, you have to put up your hand and say, hi, I'm a poor kid whose parents either can't or won't feed me. It's there if you need it or want it. So I think they have provided, goodness, 180,000 breakfasts every school week. So at least that's milk and Weet-Bix in your tummy. I know some vegan lovies might like to have the, you know, spirulina shots and the spinach is the way to start the day. But, you know, something in your tummy. Milk and Weet-Bix is perfectly good for generations of children and perfectly good for somebody who's starving. You've got Kids Can. They provide free food, clothing and health products for children in years 1 to 13. They deliver offerings that can last on the shelf for months at a time, once a term. So they deliver things like pasta, muesli bars, baked beans. And if you're hungry, that's available. If you've left your lunch at home, that's available. And nobody is criticising either Kids Can or Kickstart Breakfast for not making these offerings universal. Well, to a certain extent, they are universal and that everybody can have them if they want them. What they're not doing is forcing every single child to sit down and devour what they put in front of them. The food and other items that are being delivered by charitable organisations are there for those who need it. And there's no shame in accessing it. And there are ways that kids could access food paid for by the taxpayer without publicly shaming them. Boyd Swinburne, I think, was being provocative when he said, you know, children shouldn't have to put up their hand and say, I'm poor. That's ridiculous. There are other ways of doing it. Also, Seymour's right about wanting to see value for money because the previous government hadn't put school lunches in its long-term budget costings. They'd dipped into the COVID-19 emergency money, which was all debt. The COVID Response and Recovery Fund, that's where the funding came for school lunches. There was no long-term funding applied. As the excellent Kate McNamara writes, she wrote about it in the Herald some time ago, Grant Robertson was told by Treasury that the more than $527 million in operating funds he planned to charge to the COVID-19 emergency fund for the lunches didn't really qualify as COVID resurgence costs. Funding through the ordinary budget process would be more suitable. That advice fell on deaf ears because he knew he couldn't find a place in his budget for it. So now it's been kicked down the road and nationally there has to become the New Zealand equivalent of Thatcher Milk Snatcher and take the lunches away, or find the money to pay for it that Labor didn't have. They just used the COVID fund. National doesn't have that to pay for those lunches. Also, I was one who supported it because I thought it would get more kids into school. It's a safe place to be. If you come from a precarious home, school is a safe place to be and you'll be fed. But again, there's no real evidence that that is why children are coming to school. So 12.5% of children, according to the New Zealand Health Survey, live in households where food runs out sometimes or often. That's fewer than 100,000 of our 815,000 school kids. Probably considerably fewer, Kate points out, since the health survey includes preschoolers. So you could feed lunch to every single one of those kids who are deprived twice over for the money that we're currently spraying in an untargeted way to kids who don't want it or need it. So the kids, according to a Ministry of Education evaluation in 21, said the children ate more vegetables and fewer processed foods at lunch and they felt modestly more full after lunch when compared to kids not in the program. They didn't ask about attendance. That was one of the reasons I supported it. Didn't bother asking about that. A more recent evaluation, October 22, looked at secondary school students and found that the program had no statistically meaningful effect on attendance. Neither evaluation made any attempt to measure the program against academic achievement, school enrollment, or completions. So I'd like to see a bit of that before I commit $500 million to more funding. I want to feed kids who, through no fault of their own, are missing out on food. I want them to see school as a safe place to be, a place where somebody does care about them and does want them to succeed in life, where they can see other people succeeding, where they can see that people care about them. But this hasn't worked. Just doing it in an unregulated hoots way, let's feed them all, let's not have stigma, doesn't work. Other organisations can feed children relatively cost effectively and they can get to the children who need the food. There's no stigma around them. Farm it out. Farm out a third of the money to those organisations and they will deliver a better result. And let's just see if we do see an improvement in school attendance. If it does actually work. If it doesn't, then let's put the money into another program that gets better results.
For more from Kerry Woodham Mornings, listen live to Newstalk ZB from 9 a.m. weekdays or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.
Shared Lunch is your chance to see behind the share price of the companies you invest in.
I'm not sure that 2024 will be a year that people remember fondly.
Hear from CEOs and experts with a fresh take on what's happening in the markets here and abroad.
There are a number of reasons that you might hold Bitcoin. It's often described as digital gold.
Shared Lunch from Sharesies with Business Desk.
You know, the World Bank is reported as saying that we're probably 3 years into five very difficult years. Where are the opportunities for people here?
When it comes to investing, we'll always bring something to the table. Listen on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.